Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
All right, brothers and sisters. I'm really glad that I get to share an English service today. I'm the Tommy from the Chinese service. So my background, Mark kind of briefly mentioned already. So today, even though Pastor Bruce is not here, we're still going to continue with our series of Ephesians. So in my own personal ministry, I get to preach at other churches often. But this is my first time preaching in the English service, and then afternoon I'll preach in the Chinese service. So I do really need your prayers, everyone. So when I was preparing for this message, I kept thinking about Pastor Bruce. Because almost every week he has to preach in the morning and the afternoon. So sometimes after we finish our service in the afternoon, we go and have dinner. And then he started to, you know, he could see that his eyes are getting heavy. Now he just started nodding. Okay, yeah. I don't know if he's actually listening. So I really feel like we need to continue praying for the pastors and ministers of our church. So my theme today is let's pray together. But prayer might be one of the most important things for us as Christians. Because sometimes as we walk in this journey of faith, we get frustrated, we get sad. But in this moments like this, we need to pray even more. But just like Jesus before he went on the cross, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he asked the disciples, please pray with me. But you know, the disciples fell asleep. So I'm not Jesus, but I also need everyone's support and prayers. So tell the person next to you, don't fall asleep. So today we'll look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14-21. So this is Paul's prayer for the church. So you can actually divide the book of Ephesians into two big sections. So the first section is kind of like Paul's theological discourse, so to speak, for the church. And then the second part is how do we respond to that, all that theological truth? So today's scripture that we'll talk about is actually in the middle of these two sections. It's just like, you know, you look at there's a burger and then the burger patty in the middle. So let's eat the meat patty together. So yeah, afterwards you can also get a real burger, physical burger. Okay, so let's look at the scripture. We'll look at, let me grab it on my phone, it's easier. So we look at verses 14-15. I'm going to read for us in English. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family heaven on earth derives its name.
好,我们从这段的经文当中我们来思想一下保罗他祷告的态度。
So let's think about, okay, what is Paul's attitude in this prayer?
第一个我们来看一下保罗在哪里祷告。
The first one, let's look at, okay, where was Paul when he did this prayer?
保罗在哪里祷告。
Where was he? Does anyone know?
以弗所书是监狱书信,所以他在哪里祷告。
So we call Ephesians one of the letters of a prison, so guess what where he was. He was in jail. He was in prison. Trust me, a prison is not a good place to pray.
So,
So when I was in prison, I was baptized when I was in prison, but I didn't pray. Even the prayer before meals, I didn't do it. So there are two reasons for that. The first one is, so the first reason is, if you pray before meals, after your prayers, all the good food will be taken. So, but also the second reason is, if you pray in prison, then you're showing that you're vulnerable, you're weak, you need prayer. So I thought, praying before in front of people, that's a sign of weakness. But you can see Paul's attitude is actually quite different from mine. He didn't just pray in prison, he knelt down to pray in prison. So it's just like what he said in verse 15, that he believes all the authority in heaven and earth comes from him. He also believed that if it wasn't for God allowing it, then he would not be in prison. So to Paul, the environment, the circumstances are not his Lord. Jesus was his Lord. Okay, well, brothers and sisters, I'm not saying that every time we pray, we have to kneel down. But our attitudes, we should imitate Paul's. We need to believe in our hearts that God is the one in control of our lives. So when you really truly believe in this, our prayers will be changed. Okay, let's look at the next thing. What was Paul praying for? So we can see in this passage and just a little bit that he wasn't praying for his circumstances. So when I'm doing prison ministry, I will go into the prisons to preach and minister. A lot of the Christians or the believers who are still in prison, they will ask me to pray for them. The biggest thing, the most common thing that they ask me to pray for is, oh, please, I pray that I get paroled, I can get out as soon as possible. But did Paul pray, God, please help me to get out of this prison? No, he prayed desperately, but he was praying desperately for the church. So what I'm trying to say is that we often pray and ask God to change our circumstances, but we rarely pray to ask God to change us. So what do we usually pray for, brothers and sisters? God, change my finances. God, pray, please heal my body. God, please change my wife. It's just an example. I never pray this. Never. I don't say that. Yeah, because my wife is right here. Okay, why don't you give an applause for her? It's okay. So I'm not saying that we cannot pray for our own needs. What I'm saying is we can't just let our prayers stop at the circumstances. So I have a friend, his financial situation has just never been very good. So he is a Christian. But he doesn't read his Bible, he doesn't pray, he doesn't come to church often either. So I was on the street at Zhongxiao East Road and I ran into him. I saw that he somehow now he has a thick mustache, a beard. So I asked him, why do you have this beard? You look kind of old. So he just told me, okay, my financial situation has never been good, so my wife took me to a fortune teller. The fortune teller says that his nostril is too big, so it's gonna leak his fortune.
所以他留那个胡须就是为了把那个漏财的鼻孔
So that beard, you know, the thick mustache is trying to block his nostrils. So then I asked him, okay, so did that improve your finances? He said, well, I guess not. It doesn't look like it. And then I asked him, do you want to take tissue and then like stuff your nostrils?
Okay,
of course it's a joke. I mean, yeah, we have a relationship, so I could joke like that. I still pray for him. So I'm saying like we often pray for our circumstances to change. But what we really need to pray for is God will change our inner lives. Because Paul's prayer, he tells us something. So God might not change our circumstances through our prayers, but He will give us hearts and character that can overcome those circumstances. Amen? So in the Chinese service, we have one of our sisters. So for many years, she struggled with her finances. And her daughter, she's having some trouble as well. But these troubles, obviously, it's kind of a concern for the sister. But every morning, she writes a prayer for us. And she was sent to the group chat of our Chinese service. She always starts with scripture. So she would use that scripture to pray for her daughters and pray for the church. This is a power, a strength that keeps her going. So she's been doing this for years. And she has never stopped with even just one day. So every morning when I see this prayer being sent, I will send to all my friends. Brothers and sisters, this is a life of a Christian. This is also the prayer of a Christian. So may God help us to pray more for ourselves, for others, and for the church. Okay, so next one, let's look at what did Paul pray for? So Paul actually prayed for three things. He has three requests for God. Okay, so let's look at verse 16. I'm going to read it for us. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So the first ask of Paul, that he was praying for the saints to have a strong heart. Because the Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, there were a lot of cults and a lot of other religions. So you're thinking about sharing the gospel at that time. They really had to pay a great cost to do that. So Paul was praying for the believers to have strength. But where does it say? Where does the power come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. So brothers and sisters, we have those moments of weakness, right? So this in situations like this, we must rely on the Holy Spirit, not ourselves. Because if we rely on ourselves, we might do something very foolish. I have another example to share with you. So this is before I went to seminary. So it was during New Year's, I was at home. I have a friend, and then he was in the gang. So he called me and said, hey, at night, let's hit the clubs. So I want to ask everybody, can we go to the clubs as Christians? Okay, there's no right or wrong, right? It's not exactly. But for me, this is not a good decision. But why? Because I used to run nightclubs. So when I was doing running nightclubs, I got into drugs. So for me, going to a club, that's not a good decision. Now, there's a lot of temptations. But this is New Year's, I stay at home, it was boring for me. So I wanted to go. So I started to, you know, find reasons and excuses to justify.
Well,
the first excuse I had is, well, it's just once in a year, it's no big deal. The second reason is, I already said yes, so as a Christian, I gotta keep my word. The third reason, I even use scripture. Well, didn't Paul say we must become all things to all people? So after I found these excuses, I put on my best clothes.
Now
about to, you know, reach out to the doorknob to turn it. All of a sudden I felt something. This Holy Spirit was leaving me. I felt this lack of peace. So I, you know, took off the nice clothes, and I put on my pajamas, and I sat on my bed. And I was thinking, I still want to go. And I put on my clothes again, and I was about to turn the doorknob again, and then Holy Spirit led me again. And it went back and forth probably 7 times. It took me half an hour.
Yes.
Finally, I knelt down and I prayed. I all of a sudden remember David's prayer. You know, after his sin in Psalm 51, he said, God, please do not take your Holy Spirit from me. As I prayed, I sensed that the Spirit came back to my life, to my heart. So I called my friend and said, hey, sorry, I won't make it tonight. And of course, my friend, he was upset. He said, oh, you didn't keep your word. So I told him, friend, I'm not going because I love you. I want to show you that because of God, my life is different. I really hope that one day you'll also get to be Jesus. And later on, I went to seminary. His friend asked me to go out again. Because there's a kind of a gangster boss who just got out of prison. And so he reserved a restaurant. He wanted to treat everyone for
food.
At that time, I did go. So that restaurant, actually, it's in the area of a lot of gangsters will hang out there. I remember when the first dish came out. And my friend, he took his chopsticks. He was about to go and, you know, take the food. And the Holy Spirit, it moved me and said, yeah, I think I should pray for this table. So I just hit his hand and said, hey, stop. Let's pray. And all those brothers at the table, they just look at me. And I said, everyone, hold the hands of the person next to you. I want to bless you.
结果呢，老板后来说，这是他第一次看到在这家餐厅里面有一群人满手都是刺青，手拉着手一起祷告。
The owner of the restaurant told me afterwards that this is his first time ever seeing like a bunch of people with a bunch of tattoos holding hands and praying.
吃完饭以后，我要走的时候，我朋友跟我讲的一句话。
So after the meal, when I was about to leave, my friend came and told me something.
他说我还不认识耶稣。
He said, I don't know Jesus yet.
但是我觉得你的神很酷。
But I think your God's pretty cool.
如果以后你当了神父,
so if you become a priest or a father one day,
你要盖教堂多少钱我会捐给你。
So if you want to, you know, build a church, I'm going to donate to you.
我跟他说我没有要当神父了。
I'm not going to be a priest because I want to get married, okay?
所以他对这个信仰不了解，但是他在生活生命当中。
So of course he doesn't understand my faith, but he saw that maybe there is a God. So, brothers and sisters, in this time, the time and age that we live in, people don't want God. If we go and share the gospel, we're going to face a lot of challenges. And sometimes when we serve, we have some struggles in our hearts. But the Holy Spirit is in us. If we surrender and obey the Spirit, He will strengthen our hearts. So we can keep going as we serve. Okay, so let's look at Paul's second request. Okay, I'll read verse 17. It says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." So he's praying that we will have this love that's rooted, grounded. So the key of this love is that Christ, he dwells in our hearts. So when Jesus is in us, we start loving people differently. Because Christ's love is sacrificial, it's self-giving. And moreover, Jesus wants us to use his love to love the people who are not lovely. So I mean, I don't like to say that some people are not lovely. Because I think I'm not that lovely either. So I think, okay, I like to say it this way, that God wants us to love people who are different from us. So God puts us in a church. He has his plans. All of us are different. Our background's different. Our experiences are different. Our personalities are different. And our heights are different. Even in our church, even our culture and languages are different. But God put all of these different people together. He wants us to learn how to love each other with Christ's love. Because when we believe in Jesus, we're of the same family, the same household. We have the same father. Because of Jesus, we all become children of God. So brothers, as we love each other, we will learn, we'll understand more what is Christ's love. Okay, so as we go to verses 18 and 19, Paul is praying that we'll have unity. So here in verse 18, he's saying with all the Lord's holy people. So when we are willing to be together, to be united, God will fill us with the love that surpasses knowledge. But the Christ's love, this is a process of learning. We learn by interacting and spending time living life together. But when I first came to church, I had no idea what that means. So after I got out of prison, I went to this some sort of ministry house for people who just got out. And after I finished that part, I went to a church, my first church in my life. But back then, I did not understand Christ's love. So people who know me know that I'm an extrovert. But when I first came to church, I couldn't make friends with Christians. Because I thought my past is too different from these people. So I wanted to rely on myself. So I had this feeling of insecurity, inferiority within me. Because I thought all the people at church, they're saints, right? And I'm a sinner. So I got to prove myself somehow. So if there's anything like, you know, sweeping the floor or putting chairs, like I would always be the first one to do it. Because I want to prove to everyone that I've become a good person. You know, all the brothers and sisters at church, they were very nice to me. But I was very afraid for them to get close to me. Especially when somebody wants to say, hey, let's go have a meal, let's take a walk. I will find some excuse to turn them down. I remember there was a young person, I think the person's kind of lovely and cute.
He
would, every time he sees that, oh, Tommy, he will come and hug me.
But I'll
just become super stiff. Because I had no idea how to receive someone's love. And I realized there was something very serious. I didn't even have the ability to receive love. So I was very lonely back then. I was living in Hongshui, close to Danshui back then. So every time I would leave church, I would go and do a run by myself. Because I didn't want to get in contact with my old friends. But at church, I didn't really have other friends either. So I could only run and go on a jog. So there's one time I was running along the Danshui River. And the more that I ran, the more that I felt lonely. And I started to feel like, God, I can't keep going anymore. It's too hard. So I just thought, well, rely on myself, it's too tiring. So when I was thinking this, I saw this, this is a church in Danshui, McKay Memorial Church. I didn't know why, but I ran into that church. There's a small garden in front of that church. And there is some steps. So I just knelt down on those steps. And I was crying and praying. I said, Jesus, you gotta help me. And I kept crying, I kept praying. God began to fill me. I started to understand this verse that we were reading, this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So since then, I understood, okay, I am God's son, but I also need the body. So since then, I began learning how to open myself. When I see that young person at church again, I'm not going to wait for him to come home again. I will go and hug him. So I started to make friends at church. They gave me just tons of blessings in my life. And just like last Saturday, I went to Sam's house. Just me and my wife, we went, the two of us. They had 8 dishes and 1 soup. It's like we have more food than Chinese New Year for us. So, okay, what am I saying, brothers and sisters? So, knowing God's love, it's a process. And this process will happen at church. It will happen in our fellowship with each other. Because all of us are different. So we need Christ's love in us so we can learn how to love each other. So we can, when we understand this, then we can start accomplishing the purposes that God has for our lives and for our church. Just like this verse that says, so verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us.
Our
And just like the prayer that Paul did, that like our hearts are strengthened and our love is grounded and rooted in Christ's love. And this is how God is going to bring about the things that He planned for us. So last time I was here, I shared a testimony that when I was taking a test to go into seminary. You know, that the test, the written test, God helped me because He kind of told me all the stuff that's going to be on the test. So in the morning after I finished the written test, I thought, okay, we should be fine. But in the afternoon, there is an oral part of the test. An oral exam, I had no idea how to prepare. So I was very nervous. So because going to seminary after I got out of prison, this is a big hope for me, big dream. But the oral exam, the afternoon, I was the last one to take it. You know, this kind of waiting, it's miserable. And I was like sitting, I was standing, go back and forth. And then, okay, I started praying. So I was praying first, with my mind, my words, and then later I was starting to pray in tongues. And slowly my heart was calming down. God started speaking to me. And God started to tell me, okay, after you get into a room, the teacher, they're going to ask you some things. And God even told me, okay, you got to prepare a passage because once you start taking the test, they will ask you to go up and start sharing what God's been speaking to you. And later I got into the classroom. The questions that it asked me was the exact same questions that God told me earlier. Even the order was the same. So after I answered all the questions, I was thinking, wait, I thought they're going to ask me to go up and speak. How come they're not doing that? And when I was just thinking that, like the teacher said, okay, now you go up and share with us what you've been reading. And then, yeah, God's been speaking to you. I thought, yeah, that's right, bingo. God already prepared for me. Okay, so this scripture is 2 Timothy 2:21. It says, if a person cleanses themselves from what is dishonorable, they will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master, and prepared for every good work. So dear brothers and sisters, when I finished the exam and walked out, I had a feeling. And what I was thinking is, well, whether I get into seminary or not, that's not the most important thing to me anymore. The most important thing is that I experience a God who is alive. So since then, I told myself, I'm going to obey God. I won't let Him lead my life. So brothers and sisters, I want to say that we can experience our God. He's not like an idol who can't speak or he can't move. When we pray and we connect with Him, God will use us as a vessel. He will accomplish the purpose that He has at church. Because that is what the last verse says in verse 21. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. So when we get to know God, we'll have an expectation. So that God's glory will be filled in the church. So for me, I'm somebody who got out of prison and changed. I know very clearly that I'm a sinner. I'm not glorious. But nobody is glorious before God, right?
But the person joins.
So there's something amazing is that, you know, even though we're not glorious, but we get together, we can accomplish glorious works for God. Okay, finally, I want to share just one more testimony and I'll wrap it up. You know, so I often go and preach at our churches. So there's one time I went to preach at the church. The pastor there is very young. He's a good friend of mine. And his dad is also a pastor. And after his dad passed away, he took this church. After I preached, I was eating a meal with this pastor. So, you know, like people, ministers or pastors, when we're eating, we usually just talk about the ministry or church. So I told him I wanted to start learning more about preaching. So he actually lent me a book. The book is called, in English, The Art and Craft of Biblical Preaching. The book is about this thick. So he said, I really like this book, so you could borrow it. But then the next time when you come and preach, just return it to me. So after I got home, I quickly started to read. Because there's a time limit. Just like preaching. So after I got home, I opened this book to the first page. So I saw that this pastor, he wrote something for himself. I was kind of shocked, I was moved. Basically, what he says, he's telling himself he's reading this book for God, for the church, for my father.
Read with my heart, live with my soul.
What he said.
Yes, thank you. 我要说的是什么？大家有没有看到他把顺序是什么？第一个是神，第二个是教会，第三个才是他自己所爱的。Well,
what's important here is that you see the order. The first is God, and then the church, and then His own Father.
所以我就每天就读那本书。So
every day I was reading this book.
但是太厚，我读不完。
But it's too thick. I couldn't finish it.
我想说算了，我自己去买一本。
I say, all right, I gotta go buy a copy for myself. So I put this thought in my heart. I didn't tell anybody. So a week later, it was my birthday. So there was a pastor who told me, hey, Tommy, it's your birthday. I want to give you this book as a gift. So I opened it up. It's the same book. Well, isn't that amazing?
你去书店去看，属灵书籍有几万本。
You go to the bookstore, you look at all the, you know, Christian books, there's so many. But this pastor, he gave me the exact same book. So we can experience God in everything in our lives, whether big or small. So finally, I want to say a blessing for y'all. I also want to finish with what this pastor wrote. Paul's prayer was for God, it was for the church. This pastor also put God and the church in the top priority in his life. They were living for God. This is something that I'm learning every day in my life. So everyone, anyone, you guys want to have this heart as well? Do you believe that when we surrender to God, He'll prepare something that we never imagined before? Somebody say amen. Are you willing to believe that when we are united together at the church, then God is going to accomplish the glorious purposes that He has? Okay, if you're willing, then let's pray together. Lord, thank you.
我们感谢你,
We thank you. You are a God that we can experience. You are true and you are alive. Through Paul's prayer, to help us to understand when we're willing to first ask first your kingdom and righteousness, you're going to do amazing things. You exchange your sinless life with our sinful ones. You use your life to exchange for ours. Lord, please help us in our every day in the coming days. Through our prayers, may your Holy Spirit fill us. Help us to know your love and know your purposes for our lives. And through our prayers, use each one of us, brothers and sisters. We will build the church together. Help our church so that we can be built up in your love. Be united in your spirit. May the church manifest your glory. Until forever and ever. We pray in unity before you as your children.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.